Good afternoon. We're here. Another special edition of Beyond the Court. Have a special guest today. About Sean Birdsong here, Sharon Lettelon, and this next gentleman we have coming up, a former collegiate athlete, entrepreneur, Nike Inc., and the oldest sibling of arguably the greatest basketball player of all time, Mr. Jeff Jordan. What's going on, man? How's everything going?
What's going on? What's going on? Everything's great, man. Thanks for having me today.
No problem. No problem. So, you know, I always like to start out with, you know, especially when the times that we're in right now, we like to talk to the, you know, former players and guests about how are they feeling right now with, you know, COVID. I know I haven't seen you, you know, probably since All-Star weekend, but it's been a lot that's happened since then. What's been going on with you and how have you been able to handle what's going on with COVID and everything?
Definitely. It's been going, you know, as good as it could be. Definitely staying at home, you know, with my wife and just taking it easy, man, trying to stay as healthy as possible, eat well, spending a lot of time just kind of taking it all in. Meditation has come back into my life. It was something I got into at an early age, and it's helped me a lot through this time period being home and not being able to travel. But luckily, it's been a blessing to be busy during this time and have a bunch of things going on to work on and keep my mind fresh.
That's good. That's good. Now, you're, you know, obviously, you know, the oldest sibling of you know, yourself, Marcus, and Jasmine.
Yeah.
What was that like growing up in your family? You know, basketball family, everything as a young kid growing up.
Yeah, man, it was, you know, I think the first thing that comes to mind just because we've been talking about it so much since the release of Last Dance is the competitiveness, but also the camaraderie. The family atmosphere was great, and the connection that I have with my brother and my sister has been, you know, amazing. And it's only grown stronger, especially through this time. So that's something that, you know, has been, you know, a foundation for me as I kind of go through these new roles and even the transition from college sports to you know, being a career man. You know, family has been super, super supportive and a rock for me.
That's good. That's good. Now, did you ever have like any sibling rivalry? I know for myself, you know, I have a younger brother and an older brother, you know, it can get competitive sometimes and everything.
Most definitely.
You have some sibling rivalry when you're growing up?
Most definitely. You know, me and Marcus used to go at it all the time. Me and my younger sister, not so much, but they definitely, Marcus and Jasmine definitely had some battles as well. So yeah, we definitely, you know, we definitely bang heads every once in a while, whether it was around sports or video games or, you know, you name it. We were just kind of going at it. But, you know, I think that's what built a lot of the trust and the loyalty within the family and being able to, you know, spar with each other, I guess, you know, like they say, iron sharpens iron. So it was fun. It was competitive, but it was also a huge relationship builder for us as we got older.
Great. Great.
Definitely.
Now I saw a previous interview that you did with Marcus and Jasmine. You talked about a family football game. With your dad. Now, how did that happen, and what you know went into all of that?
Yeah, so you know, we used to we were definitely rough. Like I said, we were being competitive, and you know, we used to play football on our knees, and you know, pretend and tackle. We felt like that would be the safest thing that we could do to reenact and play football in the house. So you know, mom didn't know that, you know, dad was coming into these exhibition football games at the time. And it got a little too rough. He bumped me a little bit, bumped my head. First time I ever needed stitches. I think it was like 20, I had 25 stitches. And as soon as it happened, you know, I had no clue what happened, but I looked around, I saw my brother's face, I saw my sister's face, and I was like, oh, I must be in really, really bad shape just by looking at them. So, my pops picked me up, put me over his shoulder, made sure we got to the hospital safe, and And things were all right, but luckily, you know, it wasn't anything too serious or anything like that. Just, you know, just football in the house, so to speak. Right, and right. My mom was definitely, awesome. Yeah. It was awesome, man. It was a good time. But it was something that my mom was definitely upset about at all of us for the next couple months for sure.
Okay. All right.
As a mother, now, I can understand that. I will probably like, you know, I'll take care of you, but I want to whip you.
Exactly. Exactly. A lot of that.
So from you being young age and then you obviously growing, you know, to being in high school, you know, here in American Balls, our motto is, you know, we preach, you know, sports education, also growth. So with you obviously playing, you know, high school basketball with your brother Marcus, can you talk about, you know, what was that high school experience for you playing with your brother, one, and also just the environment, you know, whether it was basketball, classroom type things like that, what kind of experiences did you have during that time in high school?
Yeah, definitely. It was, you know, it's hard to put into words just because I know how different the experience is today with social media and kids having to deal with a totally more exposed environment. But for me, we still felt a little bit of that because of who we were. And there was a lot of, you know, it was just a lot of pressure at the end of the day. And we tried to prepare ourselves as much as we could for that pressure by focusing on our games, focusing on what we could do to get better and you know, just progress in the sport and life and everything like that. So having my brother come in, especially in high school, was something that was great for me because I had that support of somebody who knew what I was going through, as opposed to, you know, most of those early years, you know, middle school up into high school before he got there. It was definitely more of me just kind of carving out that what that would be, what my legacy was going to be in basketball up until that point. But, you know, the scrutiny was there, the pressure was there. You know, I think it would be totally different now with social media, but definitely it felt like an exposure of sorts, and you had to kind of protect yourself and protect your game, protect your mentality, your mind, and how you wanted to approach things. So that was definitely a huge a benefit for later in life as well, but also a challenge when you're just trying to play the game you love, you know.
Right. And I want to say something, you know, about the pressure. I know I had spoken about, you know, recently before to some people about, with obviously my dad playing, you know, in that time with your dad when, you know, my dad was in New Jersey and growing up, hearing pressure from outside, not necessarily, you know, whether it's putting pressure on myself, but more so outside people. What kind of pressure do you think it was for you? And if you can speak about, you know, Marcus, was it your own personal pressure to achieve something, or was it outside noise that you were listening to?
Yeah, that's great. I mean, as you know, and you've experienced, and it's a little bit of both, depending on where I was at in my career. So for example, I think, you know, just getting to high school, I think it was more so external pressure. I had to fit in with the team, fit in with what, you know, how they were used to doing things, make sure the coach is good, you know, all that. And then I think as I got older, getting closer to college, leaving high school, it started to become more about what do I need to do to progress to that next level. So it was more personal pressure, just pushing myself, which has its ups and its downs. You know, you want to make sure that you're pushing yourself, you're getting better, you're progressing. But, you know, just like the stress that comes from the outside, too much internal stress will cause you to falter at times too. So it was a little bit of both, depending on where, you know, where we were in our career. I can only imagine Marcus felt a little bit of the same, but like I said, me getting to high school first, kind of carving out a little bit of that niche, you know, he's even told me in the past, it was a different experience. It's a little bit more beneficial to see how you went through it and then navigate my own kind of path. So, it was unique, and I can only imagine, you know, you and your family doing the same and a lot of other hoopers out there having to go through, you know, what that feels like, that pressure externally and internally, especially at a young age.
I want to ask you, Marcus, you know, to follow up with that, I see personally, obviously, I'm not a bowler. I wish, no, actually, I don't. Not at all. Like I saw in the house, everything on the court he handles, and like his dad said, everything off the court is Sharon. You know, I'm usually at the line of defense trying to protect people from coming next to you guys. But I just could imagine now, as you said, with the social media with the kids, you know, there's so much bullying on the general with children right now on social media. So I can just imagine with the young, with the current bowlers, their kids, the pressure is like almost like twofold, you know.
Definitely.
And even as you try to seal where we grew up, you guys grew up in a way that we didn't have so much social media. So, you know, your mother, who was incredible, was able to kind of shield you from some of the noise. Exactly. Now, these young ones coming up with, you know, their parents in the spotlight is even more, you can't shield them because people just, you know, attacking.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, that's one of the things that for me, seeing it now, and to your point, understanding, you know, more so what my mother had to do in that role when we were growing up. It's amazing to me in terms of the scrutiny, the exposure, lack of protection that a lot of these kids have to go through, and the parents are going through that, to your point, right next to their kid and watching it. I didn't have to deal with that commentary or even, you know, really being, you know, in people's, seeing what people said about me or comments, and until probably college, you know, when you had the blogs, the forums, you know, people saying, oh, well, what about this guy playing and what about that guy playing? But it's a totally different animal on social media nowadays, because it's not just your game they're looking at. They're looking at your entire lifestyle, everything you do on the court, off the court. So, you know, it's even more pressure to start at a younger age in terms of preparing them for that, which has its own pros and cons too. But yeah, it's just a different animal. It's a different spotlight that, that I can only imagine what it feels like at 14, 13, you know, be all over Instagram, be all over Facebook like that. Definitely.
Now, on the flip side of that, what would you say for you were your most memorable, you know, moments of your high school experience?
Yeah, definitely playing with Marcus. You know, I think that was a once in a lifetime opportunity. Although it happened twice, we got to college and were able to do the same thing. You know, we really treasured those times because we, you know, we had a chance, even though in high school we were living together, we were, you know, we were obviously under the same roof and grew up that way. In college, it was different because, you know, I spent some other time at University of Illinois, and coming out to Florida and seeing what my brother's built out there, what he's been going through, what he's been experiencing, and it's very similar. I definitely treasured that time even more so than the high school time. But in high school, you know, there's nothing like having people on the floor that really understand you, know your moves, know what you're trying to do on and off the court. It just makes the game more fun.
Right.
And I'm going to follow up with that. In terms of transitioning from high school to college, you know, because American ball is one of the strong things we're trying to use this medium, is using the sport of basketball to let kids know, you know, education, that's our focus, and to be able to say, you know, you can use the discipline of basketball and achieve more. So yeah, what was that transition from, you know, just as a, like I would say, regular person, you know, high school to college, getting a scholarship, then you said going on to Florida, academically, how important was that for you, you know, and help carve out who you are as a person? Because
definitely it was very, you know, it was very important. And especially in high school, our parents really, you know, there were things that you just weren't going to be allowed to do if you weren't getting a certain grade level or you know, achieving in the classroom. So that made it very much of a simpler process in high school. And when you get to college, when I got to college, I think it was one of those things I wish I had more of, because it's almost like an opening of the world You know, if you're coming from, it doesn't matter where you're coming from, but moving out of your parents' house for the first time, living on a campus for the first time, you know, I was definitely trying to soak up as much as I could. But that internal pressure sometimes mm-hmm. gets the best of you, and you put that emphasis in sports or in the places that mm-hmm. you probably shouldn't be putting it in, more so towards the, as opposed to the academic side of things. So I think that lesson didn't really click in for me in terms of, you know, how you take care of one thing in your life really impacts the rest of everything else. Until my second year, third year of college, it is extremely important. You know, I can't stress the importance of knowing that balance, and feeling that balance, and especially with academics and sports, they really go hand in hand. If you're not doing both, one is going to falter. So it was something that I didn't take as seriously my first year. I was coming in on an academic scholarship. I thought I had it all sewed up and I would come in and do well regardless. And that's not the case. It's really hard work and dedication on and off the court. And that's really going to show on both sides of the aisle for sure.
Now, you were a real touted athlete coming out of high school, and, you know, you were able to receive, mm-hmm. you know, basketball scholarship. Yeah. You ended up choosing out of various schools, you know, University of Illinois, and then you ended up, you know, transferring also to UCF. Now, for you, what was the transition like from high school to college? I know you picked on it a little bit, but yeah. what was the biggest thing you would say as far as sports or academics that you really had to adjust to on a day-to-day in college?
Definitely. The mental maturity. You know, you're coming in with 19-year-old, 20, 21-year-old, 22-year-olds that have been there before. They're doing, they have their routine, they have their friendships kind of, you know, either solidified, set in stone, whatever. You know, I think the mentality and trying to come in and fit in with those guys really helped as a benefit. But also, I think there is a level of maturity that you can only get from your teachers. You can only get from your classmates. There's a whole nother side of that mentality that really does prove useful to your basketball skills. You know, it's a life skill, the life skills, the social skills, all those other things that, you know, you're kind of overlooking because you're worried about your handles, you worry about your shot, you're worried about everything else. But they really do play a role in your communication with the coaching staff, and your communication with your teammates and figuring out how you guys are gonna grow and grow into men, grow into a great team. You know, that those social skills are crucial. So a little bit of a combination, but I think it still goes back to, you know, just getting out there and going to your classes, going to your studies and meeting new people. It'll all come back to you tenfold.
Okay. What was your major while you were in college?
So I was psychology. I came in right away and knew I was going to be a psychology major. I took in a class my last year of high school. I was kind of undecided, but my last class at the end of every day was a psychology class, Psych 101, and I fell in love with it. So I think, you know, from the get-go, I knew it was something that I wanted to do. I had the coaching staff even come to me both at Illinois and UCF and ask me, are you sure you want to continue in this major? You know, it's a tough major. Are you sure you want to, you know, keep going this route? And I told them, yeah, you know, I loved learning about how the brain worked. And for me, you know, I think it goes back to that internal pressure and dealing with those things, you know, having firsthand experience with those things that really got me interested in that education. So, yeah, psych was a favorite. Unfortunately, I took all those classes up front, and you know, all my gen ed classes were things I couldn't tolerate, I didn't like, but still, all around it was a good experience, fun experience.
Yeah. And I'll go on that, because I had shared with you my daughters went to UCF, and the one that was in your age was also a psych major. And I think what I liked about the psychology major, which you've been saying, it gives you effective tools for in perspectives into yourself, of how your communication to others. And I think right now, as you were saying, it's so important, where for a long time, psychology was kind of like, oh, okay, pushed aside. But now with between COVID-19 and all the mental health issues, people forget that, you know, physical, but your mental health is so much. And, you know, people like you who say, like, people run this, psychologists are overbooked. They're exhausted. And if more people look at, you know, as a profession, you know, to get something to do in psychology, you had to have a PhD, but now people are like, well, you know what, maybe it is more important to like look at your mental health.
Definitely. It was interesting to me how new of a science psychology was. And, you know, it was something that the teachers and professors actually, you know, they prefaced their lectures and everything with, this is such a new science, which only, you know, I think enticed me to want to learn more about it. But I think what's also cool about both those institutions that I went to is that the way they were teaching it to you were with everyday real life experiences. So they would bring in a sports psychologist, they would bring in, you know, somebody who works with entertainers. And you really want to soak those up, because that's real life, everyday tools that you're going to be looking for and reaching for by the time you turn 23, 24. So super just thankful that I chose that path. And today is the proof of the case and the case study. And I think it's going to continue to gain some steam and gain some momentum in terms of mental health.
Yeah, and I think this generation coming out of this, people are going to start looking like, well, maybe I should become a psychologist. Maybe I should study psychology, you know, because it crosses all paths, even, you know, with companies dealing with diversity and inclusion issues, you know. You have to understand the mental thing of a person. It's not just putting a person in a position because they fit the number, you know, of diversity and inclusion, but what does that mean? What is their interpretation of issues that they may have to face in a company like this? You know, being a person of color, being a minority, you know, not, you know, interacting with people who have not the day-to-day practical knowledge of what it is to be a minority in this country.
Definitely. A lot more room for growth there, for sure.
So after college, you know, you obviously had a successful career and everything. Did you have any aspirations of playing professionally after college?
No, I think, you know, it dawned on me probably the beginning of my freshman year that, you know, this isn't something that I would want to do professionally. And I think it's because, you know, at the time I had started to see friends go overseas and play and do well, be successful. And I knew that the NBA, you know, Lightning, it's like, you have a better chance. I think I heard a quote at Nike camp one time, and it was like, you have a better chance of being struck by lightning twice than getting drafted. and I took that to heart. It was a great understanding of the chances that anybody would have going to the NBA. And not that it deterred me. It just got me thinking about what that lifestyle really means. And so I had the chance to, you know, ask myself those questions at a fairly young age, at 18. And I knew I wanted to raise a family. I knew I wanted to be somewhat in the business world. I had no clue what. I think Shark Tank was just coming out at the time. So I was interested in seeing what else the world had to offer besides basketball already. Not to take away from, you know, my focus and working on my skills, working on my game. But I think stepping on campus for the first time really opened my eyes to how big the world really is. And I knew that I would want to pursue something else. I just didn't know what that would be.
And that's interesting you say that, because for the longest, I used to always wonder why, even in middle school, my dad would always say, Sean, you don't have to play basketball. And I'm like, my mom would sometimes hint to, yeah, you can enjoy it, but you don't have to do that if you don't want to. And back in my mind, it was almost like, are they seeing something? Like, are they foreseeing something? Definitely. Or are they seeing something happen before that they don't want their kids to see? Did your mom or dad ever say, like, comments that, you know, guys, you don't have to do sports if you don't want to?
Exactly. It was exactly the same. You know, I remember I even made a change when I was a sophomore, junior in high school. I played basketball and I was like, I want to try something different and play football for the first time. And I fell in love with football. I was honestly probably better at football than I was at basketball. And even then, my parents would come to me and have that conversation like, yeah, you don't really need to play football if you don't want to. You know, you don't have to play. You don't really have to go that route if you don't want to. And especially when, you know, letters started coming in for football too, they were like, all right, you know, now you got to pick a sport. But definitely, even with basketball, it was that sentiment of, you know, you don't have to do this. We're not forcing you or pushing you to do this. And that only would get my curiosity running even more, right? Like, how far can I do this? How much can I improve every year? So definitely we had those same sentiments coming from our parents as well.
Okay. Now you obviously, you know, you graduated and everything. What was it like starting out at Nike Inc.? What was that transition like going from college to now you're a professional in a professional realm now?
Yeah, so I actually had the opportunity as well to intern. I took the summer off of 2009 at University of Illinois. I remember having a conversation with my coaches, and at the time they were like, all right, we don't know if you're going to be able to come back to the team. And to me, at that point, it was worth it to go out there and get that experience. And I'm glad I did. I was lucky to go out there, intern for a summer, come back, and I was still on the team. It prepared me a little bit better for what I experienced going into the workforce. And I think what I also needed to understand was that, you know, the same routines, the same things that you would normally do to prep for basketball, prep for a sport, were going to be totally different. And so it was very difficult to transition from, you know, what you're used to doing every day for 20, 25 years, to now, you know, going to waking up in the morning, going to doing all this on your own accord, not having an authority figure to kind of watch you go and do that. Mm-hmm. Everything has to change. I think the competitiveness and the drive stayed the same, which was helpful. But in terms of lifestyle, everything from, you know, how I ate breakfast in the morning to, you know, how much time I would play video games, everything had to change. And you know, I'm thankful that I could, you know, when those times got tough or there were issues or I felt like, you know, there was going to be a little bit of a learning gap or a learning curve, I had my brother, my sister, my mom, and my dad, who hadn't experienced any of that either, hadn't worked in, you know, Nike corporate themselves, but having the mentality or being able to check in with them really helped my mental health and how I would approach the job or approach my career from that point on.
Okay.
That's a good point that you brought up, because I always feel with American Balls, what we try to tell kids is, you know, we give them the harsh reality when they think about how many people can get to play in the NBA, how many teams, and they think there's like 2,000, you know, some of the members show some of the crazy things. They're like, well, there's only X amount of players, and they're like, right. And you're competing with the world. So you may win some money in lotto before you get even looked at the NBA. But to bring that home, which I love with sports is the discipline of sports, the structure, you know. You got to get up, you got to eat, you got to train, you got to da-da-da-da-da. So you put that, and we always found in business, that's all I've been in all my life, you know. It makes you structured. People ask me, how are you so structured? I said, you know, I played sports way back in the day. Okay, I'm not going to age myself, but way, way back. And my sport was basketball and track, you know. But I know there was a time, it's structure. And I was able to move those principles of blah, 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 have structure for business. You got to be at work at this time. You got to produce this much today. You have to be organized and you have to, you know, set your goals and execute, because that's what they're going to pay you for. You know, they're not going to pay you for because you look good.
Exactly. You know? That's something that, and I think, you know, I tried to allude to earlier is something that really didn't dawn on me until later that time period of my life is like, I didn't appreciate that structure or what the coaches were trying to do just on a day-to-day basis. Because I was separating those worlds, I was separating the academic and I was from sports, right? And instead of looking at it holistically as, you know, what do I want my lifestyle? What do I want my life to be? And then work drives that home. You know, you go to a 9-to-5 and yeah, there is no choice. There's no missing practice. There's none of that. You have to, you know, get up, go to work, earn your paycheck. And that's a new learning experience in itself. And it's one that you really have to go with open arms, you know, no restrictions on yourself, no animosity or anger. And just open up to the experience and progress in your life. That was something that was my mother really helped me through and understanding that, now you are creating who you want to be in this life. So, that is something that really stuck with me, and basketball was the tools, even if I didn't know it yet, that was the tools and the structure that got me to that level, to that career.
Right. Right. Now, how did you being in Nike propel you to what you're doing now with, your business ventures? Can you speak on a few of those things that you're up to now?
Definitely. So Nike was great. I think, you know, early part of it was that structure. And I had a chance to rotate. I was in a marketing development program there for grads and people that were just interested in the Nike workforce, and got a chance to rotate to different areas of the business. And so I turned into a sponge, you know, as much as I could suck up and understand, learn. You know, I was going to do that, and I didn't care if I was getting donuts or coffee every day. Like, I know these guys had and girls had experience that was beyond whatever I could have understood, from that workplace, from that environment. So I did that. And I think what it allowed me to do was, you know, take my entrepreneurship to another level, learn those social skills, learn how to, have these business conversations to then go out and fund my own business opportunities as well. So I meet with entrepreneurs currently. The first deal that we did was Wait Time. I partnered with a friend of mine who I went to high school with and actually became a lawyer, became a JD. And we said, you know, this is fun for us. We can keep our day job and we can also look at some of these other business opportunities and see how we could advise and help them to get to the next level. And so we did that in 2016, 2015, I believe, made our first investment, started to introduce this company Wait Time to, you know, different arena venues. They sell an AI solution, a tech solution that helps, you know, kind of wayfinding and navigating people throughout the venue or the arena. And they do that while tracking data and giving it back to the organization. So, we felt like it just fell right into our alley. We love sports. My dad was obviously owner of the team of the Hornets at the time, and they were growing. They were a great group of people that were going to do the work for themselves, but would love to have our assistance in that as well. So we went for it, and then kind of just grew from there. Every deal that came across, we were gonna take a look at, see if there's any way that we could apply ourselves or help that business out. And sometimes there is, sometimes there isn't, but at the very least, we can point them in the right direction.
And I wanted to piggyback on that. So, you know, what do you think, in your mind, what would your message be to youth out there, you know, who are graduating, you know, who are trying to achieve goals, but they don't really have the right kind of structure, I guess you can say, what would be your best advice to the youth out there trying to pursue that?
Yeah, I think, first of all, figure out what it is you love to do, what keeps you interested, what keeps your attention. You know, it may not be the type of attention that basketball or sports give you, but you know, something that really holds your interest, that makes you curious, and then go out there and be a sponge. Secondly, you know, go out there, learn from people that have been in that field. You know, there is no There's nothing you can't do when you kind of start to suck up that knowledge and start to learn the things that you actually really want to learn about that could pave the way for you to make money in that field one day. So, you know, I think one, you know, figure out what it is you love, what you like, and then two, go out there and learn from the best. Learn from people that are doing it in your community. You know, your parents, if your parents are still there, that would be another resource. As many resources as you can get to start those first couple steps, you know, you'll start walking in no time.
And do you have a website in relation to your business enterprise that you can share? Because, you know, when we have these people just take a look at this, I think that'd be just absolutely wonderful just to.
Yep. My website is www.jordanavakian, A-V-A-K-I-A-N, .com. And basically you can contact us through that website there. Put your business, your idea, maybe some areas that you're looking at getting into, and we'll get back to you. And if there's something that we can help with, you know, we'd love to do that. If there's somebody we can put you in touch with, we'd love to do that as well. So feel free to reach out there or my Instagram, Twitter, social media at Air, H-E-I-R, Jordan 13 at Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all that stuff. You can contact me there as well.
But that'd be great.
Yeah.
All right, Jeff, last question. You know, all the guys, players, you know, WNBA and NBA players and, you know, kids and everybody who's been affiliated with American Ballers, we asked this question to them, you know, what being an American Baller, you know, what does being an American Baller mean to them? It could be basketball, off the court. So in your, you know, interpretation, in 30 seconds or longer, you know, what does an American Baller mean to you?
Yeah, it means to community, culture, and education. You know, those three words probably for me reflect the experience that I had growing up and coming through that sport in this country. It was definitely, as you know, and as you both know, it's a unique experience and equips you with different tools. And I would say embrace them, you know, just embrace it all. Because you are, you know, it's definitely you're fortunate to be in that culture, be in that community. Not everybody has that type of talent. To be able to use those talents to get to your next goal is huge. So that's what it represents to me.
That sounds wonderful. And any last message to our audience out there in relation of what you've been doing or just saying, you know, staying safe with this COVID-19 and
definitely.
Just a new reality of working, like I said, we're all working Zoom. Zoom is our friend.
Yes, definitely.
It could be our enemy because then we're on for hours. And
definitely. I think, you know, obviously stay safe, be well, listen to the doctors. If you feel, you know, unsick or unwell, speak up. I feel like that's something that's not said enough. And take care of your mental health. That's very, very important.
Great. Right, well, great, I will man. Say, I know you're going to wrap it up, Sean, but I'm also going to say thank you, Jeffrey. It was great. I look forward to continuing connecting now that we've reconnected, okay? Yes. And there's so much out there to do for the kids and, you know, hearing your passion of just uplifting the community and seeing what's possible. It's very important today, as it always has been.
Definitely. Thank you. Thank you guys for having me. Would love to continue to work on some of these. I know we've talked about Sean and any opportunities that come across my table as well. Definitely would love to loop you guys in on those opportunities too.
Absolutely.
All right. Appreciate you, brother, man. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, brother. Okay. Appreciate it. Y'all stay healthy. Stay safe.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Right, bye.